Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. I began a message on yesterday's broadcast, and we went into the book of Leviticus, the 5th chapter, the 6th chapter, looking at a few of those verses there, which cover the sacrificial offerings for trespasses or sins that the people of God would commit. And in order to have their sin covered, in order to come before the Lord, they did have to have their sin covered, and it was covered through the substitutionary shed blood of an innocent animal. Well, now, under the new covenant, we have our sins covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for every man, woman, and child. His blood, when He shed His blood on Calvary, it atoned for every sin of mankind, past, present, and future. However, in our own lives, if we sin, we can come to the Lord, ask for repentance, and as John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate. He is our high priest, an advocate with the Father, who is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. We have redemption, we have salvation, we have comfort and assurance as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We, of course, because we love Him, we would never want to practice sin or remain in a sinful state of rebellion. You know, we have to be very careful of that because we crucify the Son of God afresh. However, we have to realize that God in this hour is calling His church to repentance. He's calling us to live a holy and an upright life before Him. And we haven't, in years past, we haven't heard a lot about holy living. We've heard a lot about grace, and praise God for His grace, but His grace will never cover deliberate sin, a lifestyle of sin. There are some Christians I've actually heard, well, you know, they can get away with it because, you know, they just go back to the Lord, just repent. Those are dangerous waters to be moving in, beloved. And so you might say, well, Sister Glass, why are you talking about all the trespass offerings of the Old Covenant? Well, we were just starting to look at some specific sins that God's people could be guilty of. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were talking about the sin of silence, the trespass sin of silence, as mentioned in Leviticus 5:1. And that can apply to our lives, that sometimes we sin by being silent, by being quiet. For example, Proverbs 25 and 23 tells us, if someone is backbiting, if someone's gossiping about another brother or sister, about a preacher, or someone within the body of Christ, it says in verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. In other words, If someone starts talking and gossiping, an angry countenance, or saying something in a loving way to correct them for their maliciousness, or just say, you know, I just don't want to listen to that, sister or brother. I just don't want to be a part of any kind of gossip. And you don't have to, you know, get on a high horse, but you also don't want to offend the Lord or sin by being silent. In such a case like that of gossiping or backbiting, you may not have said anything about the person yourself, but your silence gave consent to what was being said. Inside, you may have felt a tug of discomfort, but you didn't want to offend anyone, so you just stood there and didn't say anything. So that's something to think about. And then there is the sin of uncleanness. In Leviticus 5:2 and 3, it talks about, and I don't know if I'll read that again, but if it talks about a person touching an unclean thing, whether it would be the carcass of an unclean animal or even that of an unclean man, for example, a dead body, then they would become ceremonially unclean. And God said if a soul touches an unclean thing, he is defiled. So there's the trespass sin of uncleanness. And beloved, so often, even as Christians, we can be defeated or defiled in our lives, even though we may not know or want to admit it to ourselves, that our fellowship with unclean things of sin corrupts our whole life. Beloved, we cannot fellowship with the things of darkness. We can try to minister, to reach out to those, for example, who are caught in a sinful lifestyle, but we can't partake of their sinful actions with the hope of winning them to the Lord. What happens is that we then fall. If we fellowship the unclean thing we are corrupting our spirit and our soul with, we are becoming defiled. And if we don't present our bodies, as it were, a living sacrifice to God and allow the searchlight of his word to show us that we're to surrender all to him, we will never have the victory over the sin that God has provided for us. And then there's just the sin of ignorance. It's possible to transgress the commandments of the Lord without being even aware of what you're doing. For example, in Leviticus, the 5th chapter, verse 15, the word says, if a man commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock. And he shall bring that to the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And so sometimes it's possible we can sin through ignorance. Many people offer excuses for not living right before God, or for not obeying God, or for not following on into the fullness of sonship, because they say that they don't understand or know what God wants of them. Many Christians think if they just keep the Ten Commandments, they're good enough. But it's the things that Satan brings up that he has camouflaged so that they won't be aware of what they're doing. But ignorance, beloved, is not an excuse. There are many things that rob the Christian of victory. Our mind and our conscience, without God's guiding light, cannot determine what is sin. We find that in the Bible. Let me just give an example. There are a lot of Christians today, they may have been hurt in a particular church situation that they were involved in, and they can say, well, you know, I can go on and serve Lord, and I don't have to go to church. Well, you know, and now in some situations, there may not be a Bible-believing church. You know, if you're living out in the wilderness somewhere or in a very remote portion of the country, there may not be a church that is possible for you to get to, or you may be confined to home. You may not be able to literally physically get out. But the Word of God is very clear. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So much more so we need to do that as we see the day approaching, as we see the day of the Lord coming, as we see the times getting darker. Beloved, we need each other. And so we can't use that as an excuse. I mean, we might just want to gloss over it, but beloved, the Word is very clear that we are to assemble ourselves together in whatever way is God has opened the door to us. Some are meeting in home meetings, and that can be a legitimate church fellowship. But beloved, don't think you can go it alone. That the devil loves to get us off by ourselves, and then he can pick us off in a military situation, in an army, unless that person was off, you know, doing reconnoitering or trying to searching out the land or something like that. As a combat soldier, being by himself is not a wise decision. He needs to be with his company. And so, beloved, the Bible says that unbelief or gossip or talebearing, an unforgiving spirit, an unloving spirit, or if we sow discord and division among the brethren, that's just a few of the things mentioned in the New Testament. It's a sin. And we can't put our hand to the plow and look back. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, that man is not fit for the kingdom. The devil won't hassle, won't trouble the mediocre Christian, the self-satisfied Christian who feels they're prayed up and packed up and ready to go, that has sat down on his bench of good works and really can't be bothered with the world anymore. Beloved, we need to have our first love kindled anew. We don't want to be lukewarm. It's time that the Church of Jesus Christ heard the words of its founder, that is Jesus, and begin to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. The devil wants you to get comfortable and forget about souls. He wants you to get tired of praying. He wants you to get tired of going to church. He wants you to get tired of giving your money. He doesn't want you to be bothered with too much because he knows if he can lull the children of God to sleep, many souls that could be touched can be picked off by the liar of the ages. Beloved, he's interested in souls. That's all the devil wants. He wants someone to share company with him in the regions of hell. But beloved, we have to understand that the devil is not going to submit willingly, and that we have to resist the devil as the children of God. Be submitted to him, be submitted to the Lord, resist the devil as the scriptures tell us, and then, and only then, will he flee. We are not to give place to the devil. The devil despises the message of the kingdom. He despises Jesus. He despises the church of the Lord Jesus. And he's doing everything he can to keep us from fully being awake and finding out who we really are in Jesus, that we have the authority through the Lord, through to defeat him every time personally in our lives, and to intercede in prayer and to wrest those who are perishing out of his clutches by our prayers and by our godly example. Praise God. Well, the time has flown and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And as usual, I give you an invitation. If you're struggling with something and you just need someone to be able to share your thoughts, you don't have to write a lot. God's given me the gift of reading between the lines after decades of correspondence ministry. I invite you to write. And UCM partners, I thank you for your prayer support, for your financial help, and for standing with me and being faithful in the cause of the Lord. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.